while you're getting the good stuff and putting your tickets in for the door prizes. My name's Addie Chaney. I work in the Office of International Programs. I'm just going to take a second of your time to draw your attention to a program we've got going here that's tied to the International Year of Ecuador, which has brought you all here today. How many of you, just real quick, kind of taking an audience poll, use social media? Raise your hands. Well, that's a lot of you. How many of you would like to earn a $250 book scholarship at the end of the year? For how many of you feel like you make pretty good posts on social media, like pretty stellar posts, people like them a lot, they reshare them, they follow you? Okay, so quickly, the IEO post of the week, it gives you an opportunity to post about what you've learned about each country that we focus on for the year. This year is obviously Ecuador, so if you guys post something on one of our social media platforms or tag us, and you make a strong post, what you've learned about Ecuador, and we pick you as our post of the week, you become eligible to win a $250 book scholarship at the end of the year. This will go on every single year. Next year, our focus will be South Africa, but this year, it's Ecuador. So if you pick up something during tonight's talk that you want to share about, follow us on social media. Twitter is at WKUIYO, and Facebook, it's Office of International Programs, and you're going to be eligible to win a $250 book scholarship. So just putting that plug out there. Again, at WKUIYO or on Facebook, it's going to be Office of International Programs. All right, and I'm going to turn this over to Dr. Brian Coutts, who is going to introduce our wonderful guest.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
Well, good afternoon. My name is Brian Coutts, and as a member of the Planning Committee, it's my pleasure to welcome you to this first presentation in our Tracing the Unexplored, an Ecuadorian tapestry series, first conceived by Sonia Link and sponsored by the School of Journalism and Broadcasting, the Honors College, University Libraries, the Institute for Citizenship and Social Responsibility, the Kentucky Institute for International Studies, the Office of International Programs, in the departments of History, Gender and Women's Studies, Geography and Geology, Sociology, Political Science, Folk Studies and Anthropology, and Modern Languages. Today's door prizes are courtesy of the Office of International Programs. Our speaker today is a Quechua indigenous woman from Otavalo, Ecuador, at the edge of the Andes Mountains. There's a picture of the lake near her home in the Discovering Ecuador photo exhibit currently on display in Mass Media and Technology Hall, first floor gallery. She received her BA in Language and Applied Linguistics from the Catholic University of Ecuador in 1997 and wrote a thesis on indigenous bilingual education. Her MA in Political Science is from Flaxo in 2006, where her research focused on the indigenous national uprising after 1990. Since 2009, she's been on the faculty at UCLA in the Department of Spanish and Portuguese and the Latin American Institute, where she teaches Quechua language and Spanish. Prior to this, she served as outreach coordinator and Quechua language instructor at Arizona State University in Tempe from 2005 to 2007. And from 1996 to 2004, she was Quechua language instructor for Trent University of Canada's program in Ecuador. In Ecuador, she's held a variety of teaching positions and taught over 2,000 indigenous teachers and leaders in areas of Quechua, socio and applied linguistics, and management of educational strategies. She's consulted for numerous NGOs and served as an advisor to the Ecuadorian Education Ministry and as president of the Ecuadorian National Indigenous Women's Group on two occasions. She's received many honors, including a merit award for the most distinguished professional from Otavalo, from the governor of that state, the Venus of Valdivia Award from the Minister of Foreign Relations in Ecuador, and in 2007 was nominated by the U.S. Embassy in Quito for the Courage Indian Woman Prize offered by the U.S. Department of State. She's written 30 books, brochures, Quechua dictionaries, and magazines for bilingual education for children and adults, and delivered more than 200 lectures around the world on topics of the Andean understanding of the cosmos, gender from the Andean perspective, and the society and indigenous peoples. She's currently researching the meanings of being an indigenous woman in the 21st century. The theme of today's talk is Indigenous Women in Ecuador and the Sumac Cauce, The Philosophy of Good Living. Please give a warm welcome to Maria Luz de la Torre.
So, good afternoon, everybody. Thank you so much for this kind presentation, very beautiful presentation. I'm sorry. So, at the beginning, I would like to give you, all of you, my appreciation. I would like to say thank you so much for being here. Especially I would like to give my gratitude to all of the committee that was working to invite me to be here, especially Professor Sonia Lenk, who was following me every time until to achieve this afternoon to be here. So thank you so much, everybody, to give me this opportunity to address with this presentation. My first thing that I would like, for respect of your language, English, actually is not my first language. It's my, I think, my one of the my languages. I can speak very well, so I'm sorry for that, and I will try to speak this unknown language, unknown for indigenous people. This language is very complex to learn, but we try to do it. Even with Spanish is the same, because when we grow up, with our indigenous language. In my case, it's with Quechua. When I was a child, I spoke only Quechua with my grandparents, with my parents, with my community, my neighbors. My community only spoke Quechua. But I don't remember when I acquired the Spanish language, but I did. But I think it was very, very hard, because when we grow up, and I remember very well when I went to the school, all of the teachers in the school, they told us, háblame en cristiano, speak me in Christian. So, because they heard a language, no Christian language, so the Quechua was considered for them as no Christian language. So all of the time we heard this expression. So that, I think, maybe it was the motivation, not a good motivation, but it was enforced to learn Spanish. And because that, I don't realize when, in what part of my life I learned Spanish. And that was fascinated me when I entered in Spanish, and when I started my studies in the university. I studied languages and linguistics, and I started studying Quechua, my indigenous language, to understand much better what's Quechua, to understand the grammar, to understand the language, and to understand many, many things about this language. And I was fascinated with the language, and I went to the jungle in my country, and I was tied with many indigenous communities there, and I was motivated by myself to learn Wao Tiriro. It's another language of the people who live in the jungle. And a little bit Shuar is another language, because in Ecuador, we speak, or we know, we don't speak, but we know, or we have 14 indigenous languages. So 14 nationalities, 11 nationalities with a dialect as well, that is, it seems like another language, but we have many languages. So in this scenario, I was motivated to learn Wawo and Shuar. But when I was in my first years in the university, I won a scholarship to go to France. I was fighting with French. So, and when I came here to US, until now, I am fighting with English, because all of the languages were like a systematic learning, but with English, it's completely different. I learned like now, speaking, facing with this moment, scaring a lot with this situation, but it's motivating to learn a little bit more English. So because that, I start telling you, I'm so sorry for my mistakes in English, and I hope at the end of this presentation, you can have a little bit ideas about the things that I will tell you. Yeah? So thank you for your patience about my pronunciation or everything that will be very, very complicated, but I will try to do it. So as indigenous people, I will talk about the women, the presentation, the Ecuadorian program that is doing now. It's going on in these weeks actually. My topic, it will be how the indigenous women, how we improved as a subject, as political subject, as a human, because as you know, in the history we were considered like no human people. So I would like to start my speech with something that I would like to locate a little bit for many people. Maybe as you didn't visit my country, it's a little country, located here, very country. Here also this map is old. So we don't have this part. So our country is very small, so we don't have this territory, yeah? So because this is the old geography. So in this small country, we live 15 million of people distributed in these regions, the coast. Yeah, so here we have the Pacific Ocean, yeah, along this coast side. In the middle, we have the highlands, because we have the mountains there, the Andes. Starts in Colombia and continue in Peru, until Bolivia, part of Chile and Argentina. And we also have The other region is the jungle. Yeah, it's when we have a lot of trees, a different life. And another thing is another region that we have is the Galapagos Island. So our small country have very different, very completely different people, different regions, different in many kind of different situation. The most important part that I would like point out is about, I was telling you, is that we have 11 different ethnic groups. Now, since 2010, actually, we were recognized as nationalities. We called nationalities since many years ago. For example, in 1980s, we were talking about this, how we can constitute as nationalities. But all of the country, all of the governments, they were not agreeing with this concept, because they thought that we were provoking maybe to divide the country, because they told us, you would like to make another nation, another Ecuador inside of Ecuador. But our intention, it was not idea to divide the Ecuador. Only we were requesting, only we were demanding to recognize our rights as indigenous people. So this is the country where we are distributed in the coast side, in the highlands. For example, in the highlands, the most part that we speak along this region, we speak Quechua. But in the coast side, for example, there are more groups, the Chachi and the Tsachi as well. Actually, they are in part of the coast and part in the highlands. But the large group of the indigenous are located in the jungle, because there are the Awas, the Kofanes, etc. Yeah? So this is our composition of our ethnicity. And now, politically, we are recognized as nationalities. So we are nacionalidad Wao, nacionalidad Quechua, so nationality. Every group, ethnic group now is called like nationality. Yeah. For example, we can see the diversity. We are indigenous. We are Quechua. Everybody, we are Quechua. But every Quechua is different. So we can say every nationality has a language, has a cultural, a particular cultural issues, has a particular language, has a particular territory as well. Yeah. So in the case of the Quechua, for example, it's an exception. We are the Quechua people, but we are localized everywhere, around all the world and inside in Ecuador as well. But the indigenous Quechua, no, we are localized along of the highlands region. We speak Quechua, but we have many different customs. For example, our clothes is very different. In spite we speak Quechua, but we wear different. We have a Quechua dialect different as well. So we are like a different people. And because that, all of the governments in Ecuador along the history, they confused, because they thought that all of the indigenous, we were the same indigenous. Yeah, until now, many people, they can't understand that we exist many, many different indigenous people with different languages, with different kind of lives, for example, or eating or trading, in many ways. So we are very, very different. But the women in the historic context, I would like to start from this concept, maybe, to understand after how we were living as indigenous women. As you know, in many cultures, the oldest times were the women were considered like goddesses. Yeah? In many cultures. In the indigenous culture, the Quechua culture was not the exception. We were like goddesses. We were considered like goddesses. The Pachamama, Pacha, it's meaning time and space. It's the meaning in Quechua. And Mama is the mother. So it's the mother universe. So all of the things that exist in our visions and the things that we can't see is constituted by the Pachamama. Yeah? Usually the people call as well Alpamama, but the difference is Pachamama is the mother universe, mother pluriverse, and the Alpamama is the mother earth. Yeah? So you can see how was how were as women, how we were considered like the goddess. But I would like to make the difference in the historical moments, how this concept was changing little by little. For example, I will refer directly when our states, our nations, for example, in Ecuador, our Republica, so the country called Republica was founded in 1830s. So in that year, when the Spaniard people were abusing the indigenous people, many people in Ecuador, they were demanding a good treatment for the indigenous people, for the black people. And one of the factions of the Ecuadorian people, they would like to, in those moments, they founded the Republica, the country. In their ideas was give the liberty, the freedom for the indigenous people. Yeah, because they didn't suffer more with the Spaniard people. But the situation was that they had the ideals that they learned in Europe, the citizenship, the freedom, the equal, to be equal, to be the brothership. So, but it was only the discourse. But in the real life, themselves were the dominated people. So because their parents, for example, they had the haciendas, the big fields, and in those big fields, the indigenous people, the black people, they worked like slaves. Yeah? But in their discourse, they were talking about the ideals of the citizenship to recognize the indigenous people like human people, because as you know, in the colonial times, The Spaniard people, they thought that the indigenous people, they didn't have the soul, they didn't, they were not the human to the indigenous people. They had these concepts, yeah? But when the independence moment in 1830 start, the mestizos people in those years, they were recognized like criollos people. It was the mixture of the Spaniard people mixed with the indigenous people. So those criollos people was fighting with the Spaniard people, and they achieved the independence, and they founded the new republica, the new state, the new nation. But they achieved to go out to go out to the Spaniard people. But the system stayed equal. The system of the domination, the system as the Spaniard people practiced in our country, is what the system. It was the same. For example, I have here a citation of one of the sociologists in Ecuador. He says, he's Cueva, yeah? Juan Cueva. He says, in that moment in 1830, when the independence were achieved, he says, it was the last day of the despotism and the first day and the first same of the same thing. So the last day of the despotism and the first of the same thing. So we didn't achieve anything for the indigenous people. So the structure of the state, the structure of the domination, the structure of the segregation, it was the same. So the indigenous people, we were treated the same, or maybe the worse than the colonial time. Because all of the indigenous, they were working in the fields, in the haciendas, without any payment. They were abused in many ways, and especially the women in those haciendas was the favorite issues for abuse, for sexual abuse, for example, and product of that is our population. Yeah, of this abuse, we have the mestizos people that they abused. So this system of the abuse, it was the same maybe until our days. So as I'm telling you, for us, the situation didn't change in any way. I will give you some examples. For example, how to understand a little bit how we suffered the exclusion, the domination. So to see the path, how the goddesses to descend to these concepts. For example, in Quechua we have this term, this word, runa. It means, in Quechua, it means human being. Yeah? This is the big concept. But when the Spaniards people, they go out to their country, the criollos people stayed in our country, the mestizos people stayed there. They were dominating, they had the power, they were doing the state, the nations, they had all of the power. But but the treatment for the indigenous people was the same. Until, almost until now, this word, runa, it was converted, it was transformed to the bad concept. For example, this concept, the runa, it was assumed for the mestizos people like no value, like a waste, like a garbage. For example, when we walked in the market, usually the people say, "This is a runa dog." Es un perro runa, telling like it's not, this dog has not the pedigree. So the same situation, for example, in the markets when we buy the clothes made with organic wool, with organic things, were considered like elements of runa elements. For example, here the organic foods are considered like for the high level people. It's very expensive when we find in Whole Foods, Trader Joe's, or everywhere. But those foods in our country, until almost 10 years or until now, in many, many places, were considered like runa food. So, not valued food. I remember very well when I was in the college, my grandmother, when I invited my friends to the house of my grandmother to see how she cooks, she was cooking the quinoa. It's a small seeds that is produced in the Andes. She was cooking quinoa. And she was ashamed to show the quinoa because in their mind it was considered like not valued food. It was considered like for herself. She assumed. As the mestizos people told her or told the society that is that was not value of food. So this runa word was treated like everything that we were relating with runa, it was not value. Yeah? If you can see the real meaning is human being. But when this term was transformed, it was considered like not value. So, no value people, so we were considered like runa. Yeah? So, to talk about the runa, or another expression, it was a very, very hard expression. In Ecuador, all of the people use longa as a big insult. For example, it's very common to see when two drivers are driving in the cities, one of them want to pass the another car, and they are fighting each other. But one of the driver can or insulted to the other saying longo hijo de tal. So I'm sorry, I can't pronounce the second epithet because it's much big expression, so hard expression, is not respectful expression. Yeah, longo hijo de tal. Yeah, so the driver he answered not angry for the second expression, but he is anger, is anger for the first expression. And he says, ¿cuál longo? Who is the longo? Yeah? So it's common. So you can see how the expressions became along the time, along the history. So like a mistake, for example, longo in Quechua, it's meaning the teenager. So the mestizos people transformed the use, the word, but for insulting the people, yeah? Actually, in our country, the Quechua and Spanish, as this language live together, our influence is in the both sides, in the both vias, yeah? So the Quechua language is very nourished of the Spanish and vice versa, yeah? Commonly, for example, in positive ways also, the Spaniard people or who speak Spanish, they assume, for example, many words, but as mistake as well. For example, we have an expression like ñaña. Ñaña, we say sister, among sisters we say ñaña, but only female. But the mestizos people, they assume mi ñaño, say to say my brother. But in Quechua there is not that expression. So ñaña is only to refer only the sisters between women. But the mestizos people, they say mi ñaño, so my brother. So it's not correct, but they use like that. So the influence is like that. Some words very positive, but some words like runa or like longo as insult, they use in this way. So another expression, for example, the people use yanga. Yanga is to refer to, there is not taste, there is not value. Even the indigenous people, they assumed this term yanga to name the language or their self. So they say, for example, when they listen, the students who speak Quechua, for example, in your case, if you learn Quechua and you go to Ecuador, all of the people could say, oh, that gringuito is speaking yanga shimi. So yanga shimi is that no value people, that no value language. So the same indigenous people, their self, they assume like not value. So it was this process to internalize all of the discrimination. It was very, very bad in many ways. Yeah. So I would like to jump this issue because I would like to point out in the role the indigenous in this context, in this bad situation, yeah, because the situation is not good for the entire society, but for the indigenous people more difficult, because we were treated, we still are treated like no value people, no good person. Not able to assume responsibilities or something like that. For example, like the term, the word runa, like the term longo, longa, and the expressions that is in the daily life, in everyday life, the treatment is very bad because all of the people only to see as indigenous people, they have the right to say all of us, for example, Maria. So they call us, they call like this, ah, Maria. They say in uniform names for all of the indigenous people, all of the indigenous women. Or Rosa, Juana. So all of us, we are Juana or Rosa for these concepts. No? Or another concept, it was, for example, prima. So it's cousin. So prima. So it was to refer to the indigenous women. So the treatments were so bad. I remember, fortunately, for many efforts of our communities, our families, we had the opportunity to enter in many private spaces. For example, the education. No, we had the opportunity to study, to have the privilege to study, but it's not common for the entire society, for the entire population of the women, especially the indigenous women. So when I would like to tell you about one of the anecdotes to give you like an example how we suffer the discrimination. When I was working, I remember very well, and I like to tell to my audience this anecdote. When I was working in the Universidad San Francisco de Quito, that's the sister university from this university, I was working there, and when I finished my classes, one of the women approached to me, and she asked me, do you wash the clothes? And I told her, yes, of course, I have 5 children, and I do that. But she told me, she following me, and she told me, but you could wash the clothes for me. And I told, yes, of course, I can do that, because all of the jobs are dignity for me. So she replied, she again and again she told me, but how much you have for every dozen of clothes, if you wash the clothes? So I told her, if you pay like this university is paying me, I will go with you. So but now I am telling you, and it could be a little bit happy to see that, yeah? But in this moment, when we receive these offers, when in that moment I receive this kind of job, it's very, very hard in our bodies, in our mind, in our spirit, because this is clearly the discrimination. It's clearly that they are treating us like domestic people. So it could be different if she, for example, if she could say me, señora or ma'am, could you administrate my enterprise? For example, different. Yeah. So, because she saw me with my uniform, as I say, in Ecuador, it's Otavalian people, maybe she's Maria, she's Juana, she's Rosa, and she works in the house. Many families in Ecuador, especially the mestizos people, they have a woman who works at home as a domestic, cleaning, their house, washing the clothes, cooking the foods, carrying the babies, right? So it's common that. So they did everywhere. When I was walking in Ecuador, they asked me, "Do you know somebody who could work at home?" Yeah, but for why they are asking me that? So clearly, the discrimination is inside of their minds, even until now. So when I am in Los Angeles, I was talking about that in one of the class before to come here. And in Los Angeles, I say the immigration come with all of this discrimination, with all of these concepts. And in Los Angeles, many Latinos people, they ask me, "Do you work at home? Do you work in the houses?" And I told them, yes. I have many essays of my students, and I should correct at home. And they surprised, "But are you a teacher? Where is your school?" And I say, I told them, UCLA is my school. "Why? So you? You?" So they can't believe. So and they replied, for example, telling me, "But UCLA received dressed like that?" And I told them, "Yes, because I can't go naked." Yeah. So this is the concept that many people have about the indigenous women. So everywhere we are feeling in our bodies, in our the views of the people, no, are we know that they are imagining that they are discriminating us, and for that, very consciously, we started a process to recover all of the things that characterize the indigenous issues. So, for example, in 1980s, we were very proud to start a project of literacy to teach the people to be proud about our culture, about our language, about our many things that we have in our culture. So in 1980s, we trained around 2,000 of leaders that they became part of the new scenarios in the political issues in Ecuador. Those 2,000 of leaders in 1991 made the first uprising in Ecuador. So we were part of this change. So especially the women, because we maintain our culture. In spite we suffer a lot with those treatments as I referred to you, we maintain. We suffered, but we still stay with our culture, especially, for example, our clothes. We say it's not only the clothes, it's not only the uniform, it's part of the political issues. We called our clothes our flag, our political flag. Because when we walk everywhere, we are protesting with these clothes. So we are telling the people we are present, we are here, we are still here, and we will be here for more time that you can't imagine. So that was the best part, that we encouraged the population to be very proud, to be very dignity of our culture, of our language, of our nature of indigenous people. So those concepts of this work, this hard work that we had, it constitutes the big role, especially as I told you, the women. For example, in the first uprising that we had in 1991, the women was in the first rows, protesting, arriving to the big cities, to demanding the government, to demanding the president of the country. There was a first woman in Ecuador. She was the first woman that she was facing the first time in the history to the president of the country. She became, after 1991, in 2003, she became as minister, the prime minister. She was the first prime minister in the history in our country, because those spaces were not considered for the indigenous people, because until that we were not valued people. But those changes, those uprisings, those demands opened a new spaces for indigenous people, for entire society, but especially for the indigenous people and for women especially. That opened our hard works in those moments. We provoked to open another situation in Ecuador. So we say, for example, with the runa words has dominated or have dominated us, with the same words we will alive. We will be present in following the words of our ancestors. Our ancestors told us, we will come back. We have a legend, a very nice legend, when the Spaniard people kill a big leader in Peru. In that moment, he pronounced the last words, telling, "We will die. We will be absent for many times, for many years. But when we come, we will come back after years. But if we come back after years, we will stay forever here." So I think we were very, very nourished with those concepts. So in Ecuador, actually, we are playing a big role as indigenous women, because we had opened an incredible spaces in many ways, in the academia, as traders, as authorities, governments, in many ways. So I can't imagine, for example, many indigenous people like me. Yeah. So they are traveling around all the world. Even they don't know Spanish. They know Quechua. So, for example, we know many indigenous women that they go to Europe with handicrafts to sell, to trade. but without Spanish. Yeah? So I can imagine how is the they are fighting, yeah, to improve, because when they go back to Ecuador, they go with another idea to improve, to give another opportunity to the new generations. So I think the women, we played and we play until now a big role, the big responsibilities with our new generations, teaching the new issues that they could have that legacy to continue in this process to achieve to be a new kind of society. So I think, as I related you, for example, those years, but in 2007 we have a little bit of rupture, because until those years, for example, the indigenous women were present in the political arena, in the political issues, but since those years, the indigenous women disappeared from those public spaces. For example, when you analyze the constitute, not the constitution, but the people who are involved in the government, we can't find the indigenous people there as ministers, for example. There are not. So we are ourselves, we are asking with a big question, what happened? What happened in the history? Why we are disappearing from those scenarios? Yeah? So I think before to finish this presentation, I would like to tell, for example, those years, 1997, 1998, we won all of these achievements. Yeah, so the political movement, the collective rights. Now, I think in this moment, although we won, for example, the constitution in Ecuador is the first constitution in the world that recognized the rights for the nature. And that is a contribution of the indigenous people. Yeah? So the concepts, the ideas, the philosophy of the indigenous people is present in the constitution. So it's the first constitution in the world. After that was Bolivia, that they have the same rights for the nature. But another thing, for example, in Ecuador is the achievement, is the recognition of the nationalities and the recognition of to recognize as official language, the Quechua language is official in Ecuador to the intercommunication. But I think now is a process to write those rights, yeah? But to put in the practice is a little bit hard. So I hope in the future we can achieve putting in the life those rights. For example, the nature rights, the nationalities rights, to speak the Quechua for all of the population. Yeah, in spite many people are speaking Quechua, but they say, the mestizos people, for example, they say, I don't speak Quechua, But when we analyze their dialect of Spanish, it's not Spanish from Spain, it's Ecuadoriano, because we mixed with Quechua language. So we use many, many words, many constructions, many grammar, grammatically it's construct like Quechua language. So, but they think that they are speaking Spanish. So they don't speak Spanish, they speak like Quichuañol or like Ecuadoriano, yeah? So I would like to finish here only to making realize that our faces after 1991, our faces, our voices are present in all of the spaces. In 1991, it was the first time that the newspapers, that television, made appear the faces of the indigenous people. Never in the history we were appeared there. But in those years, they were obligated to do that. Because they didn't consider how the runas will be in the television. Why, how the runas will be in the newspapers? So it's so bad. So it will be a bad idea to put the indigenous people there. But now I think we are present in many ways, in many places. That is our achievement, and that I think is our big role that we played for constructing, for doing a good situation for the society in general in Ecuador. And we contributed for the entire society to understand that our presence, it could be a good thing to improve the nation, the entire nation, the entire country. So we are not the charge. We are not only the part to be considered like poor, like the maybe in the budgets of the state only to be a waste if give us the education or if give us the something for us. Yeah, so I think now we open another thing, so all of the society, all of the state are considering that we can contribute in many ways. So they are considering like our values, our knowledge, our wisdom could be a possibilities to change this world that is in crisis. If we can see here, for example, the economic issues is fall down, yeah? The political issues is fall down. So everything actually is in crisis. But the indigenous people, although we were living without any resource, with those discrimination, excluded from many places, we start again, we alive again, we woke up again to be very ready to collaborate, to construct the society that we call this intercultural society. So to understand that the groups, the different groups could be the big contribution to make the different society. The diversity, with the diversity, with the other notions, with other concepts. For example, if we could learn about the health issues, all of the health issues comes from the jungle, yeah? So the jungle from Brazil and all of the jungle, contribute for pharmacies, for example, is made there. So we have this knowledge. In economic issues, for example, we can demonstrate that without any resource, we survived for more than 500 years in being success process. So I would like to tell you thank you so much for your patience to hear me. I would like to, maybe if you have the questions that maybe you have, I would like to answer some curiosities that you have about my country, and I would like to tell you thank you so much. So I'm so sorry.
I think we have time for a couple questions. Anybody have any questions? Yes, over here.
Yeah. We heard a few words of Spanish in there, and you spoke in English, and we thank you for that. Could you maybe say a few words in Quechua so we can practice on it, or maybe teach us a phrase or two?
With all of my pleasure. Usually I do that, but today I considered like I will provoke many scares here, so avoid that. So I will tell you my first words that I... usually I use to introduce myself. So, Ayichishi Mashikuna, Nyukaka Ecuador Mandami Kani, Kai Pikushi Mikani, Kai Mashi, Nyukata Kaiman, Pushamuash Kamanda, Chaita, Kikingunata, Yupaichani, Ningapa Shamushkani. Yeah? So, I tell you, thank you so much for inviting me here, my colleague, my friend, Professor Leng, invited me and all of you. So, thank you so much. That's a good thing that I was I forgot. So, So another question, maybe you have another.
You didn't mention how many, what percentage of the population are indigenous in Ecuador?
Yeah, in Ecuador. The statistics, the national statistics, usually say the indigenous, there are not more, there are not exist more. So the census, for example, give us 2% of indigenous people, 4%, 10%. So I think the indigenous population is more than 50%. Yeah? But for all of those things that I was telling before, all of the people prefer called as mestizos or blancos, white people, yeah? And many indigenous people, they changed in the process of the blanqueamiento, the whiteness moment, they disappeared as indigenous. So now the statistics told us that we have maximum as 20% of the population of Ecuador. So we are around 400,000 of people, of indigenous people in Ecuador, and distributed in the many nationalities. So the large population is located in the Quechua group, yeah, in Quechua nation. So from 15 million of citizens in Ecuador, we are maybe the 42% of the indigenous people. But the national statistics, they don't recognize that. So they say condescending. They say maybe 20%, but so maybe it's 10% only, they say. So until now, we didn't make a real census because it's not true when we, for example, when the people ask the question, are you indigenous? Are you indigenous? For that discrimination, even the indigenous people, they negate those their identity. So the indigenous people, when they are asked, so, are you indigenous? And they say, no, I am white. So that's very crazy, yeah?
Another question? Over here, yes.
How did you become interested in teaching at the universities?
So my training, yeah? So firstly, another thing, it was the motivation that I received from my family, my community, my mother especially, yeah? My parents, they, my father, for example, he was disagreeing with my studies because he told me at 15 years old she will be married, so she doesn't need to be in the college or something. But my mother, she was encouraging me all of the time. I would like to see teaching the kids. She was motivated with that. But I think our motivation was when we saw the people have suffering the discrimination, in that way we say we will need many people to make realize that we exist until now. So I think this objective I achieved when I am in front of the my classes, for example, 50, 70, 100 students, and when I have the opportunity to speak about my situation, about my culture, I think we are winning many things in favor of our culture, of our project. So I love to teach, and as studies were in linguistics or something like that, so I designed my career with Quechua. Yeah.
Well, on that note, I think we'll now turn to the door prize, and if people have questions, they can come up after and ask you.
Sure, sure. Thank you so much again. So.
Have to be here to win, so we'll go ahead and tell. We have them in all sizes.
Alicia
Alicia, are you still here?
Yeah.
Yes, come on. Alicia, come on down, and Professor Curry.